That's guitar! Who are you? Where do you come from? Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Hello, babes. You're at the Headbangers Rock Show, where the past is still kicking ass. This isn't a podcast for nerds, hosers, piecers, or dudes that dress like girls. Unless those dudes play 80s metal, then, well, that's hot. Because nothing gets a girl looser than an ice-cold wine cooler and a monster riff. Now, here's your hosts, Joe and Chris, to take you on a sticky sweet adventure back to a time when rock and metal ruled the schools. The Headbangers Rock Show starts now.
Okay, welcome back, Headbangers Rock Show. I'm Joe. Across the way from me is...
Chris 51, and that sounded pretty sexy.
I'm feeling sexy.
Rocking today.
I'm feeling sexy today. It's that, like that, I think we mentioned it before. Remember that Goodwill commercial I said that's on the air where the t-shirt goes, I still got some rock left in me. Anyways, yeah, we're feeling pretty rocking today back on Headbangers Rock Show podcast. Talking 80s rock and heavy metal, and thanks to all those people that like to listen to us because we like to do it. It's a labor of love. It's fun. And here we go for another episode of our bi-weekly, don't get excited when I say bi over there, bi-weekly podcast all about 80s rock and heavy metal, the Headbangers Rock Show, the one and only Headbangers Rock Show.
Damn straight.
So today we have an episode for you all about, well, it's a part two of one we did. It was about... not quite a year ago. I think it was last summer sometime when we did this episode. Ended up being kind of fun. It's kind of going through and making the, creating the contents for the episode is kind of fun too, in that the preparation, because, what the episode is about today is, same name songs, you know, bands that did a song with the same name, different artists, but same name.
Right.
And so we racked our brains and we're trying to come up with a name for this episode. And we finally came up with Same Name Songs.
Same.
Is that right?
Brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant.
So, Same Name Songs is the name of the episode because the songs have the same name. See what we did there? But different artists. So last episode, I think we had Poison's, there was a Poison song. They're a real popular Poison song, wasn't it? And it was.
I can't remember who the hell we did.
I can't even think who we did. Fallen Angel.
Fallen Angel.
So, for example, there was a Fallen Angel by Poison, which everybody kind of knows,
right?
And then there was a lesser known Fallen Angel by I think it was Ace Frehley's band.
Yeah,
but it wasn't Ace Frehley singing. It was the other guy singing. It was Fallen Angel. They were both almost the same year too.
Yeah,
86, 87, 88, somewhere right in there. And so we battled those two, you know, we came up, so you listen to them, which one do you like better? Same concept today, but we've got a new batch of songs, all by 80s rockers. We'll get started with that in just a minute. But first.
Do you have a piss Chris off list?
No, but I have.
Okay.
I have something I do have kind of a piss Chris off list, a piss Joe off list, a piss every rocker off list.
Okay.
But I'll get to that in a second. But isn't it funny? Do you have anything that you enjoy or that you like that you feel like it's a you thing? Like not a lot of people enjoy it, but you know that.
Yeah.
You know that it's not a super popular thing to enjoy, but you know it. I'm trying to think. Do I have anything that I enjoy that's kind of really... you know, not mainstream, not popular. It could be anything from a food item to a genre of music, obviously, to a, mm-hmm. you know, a movie that you like that everybody thinks is... Well, you, Titanic. You loved Titanic.
Titanic. Surprised you didn't say Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, hey.
But everybody loves Limp Bizkit.
Kind of like a guilty pleasure type thing, I guess you could say. No, the reason I say that, well, you know, I don't know. The reason, for me...
Titanic.
For me, you know, I don't understand people that like black licorice, right?
Oh God, right. Me
I don't
too.
Get it. I mean, I don't get it there at all. People, but there are people out there that love black licorice.
Those people are weird.
And you know, I mean, people I know really well that like black licorice. But it's one of the one things I taste in my life, and I'm just like, oh my God, I can't get
disgusting.
It's really weird. But so I came across this article the other day, and you know, I know that death metal exists, right? But some article, and they were talking about all about this new album by the band. It's almost hard to say. It almost sounds, but Cattle Decapitation. Have
yeah,
you heard of them?
I've heard of them. Yeah,
yeah. And you know, they were talking about this new album they're going to put out, and they are a band that, like, you know, their whole existence is to kind of say that the human race is like a disease on the earth, and all we, you know, we're like a parasite on the earth, and we're killing the earth, and you. Anyway, so I was like, Cattle Decap, death music. Okay, it's like, all right, I'm kind of, it's been a while since I've had my, you know, fix of death metal. What is Cattle Decapitation? I mean, first of all, the name is ridiculous.
It
but
is.
I mean, now that I know their band, they're all like vegans and they don't eat meat. And they
oh,
think it's,
God.
You know, and this is coming from guys that sing death metal.
How,
and
are,
like,
how are any death metal
they're
guys
vegans,
vegan?
You know? Anyways, so I was like, I've never heard, I mean, I've probably heard like Cannibal Corpse before.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know, let's hear Cattle Decapitation. It's kind of like the black licorice. I don't get how anybody listens to that. You know, I even listened to like one or two songs, or more than one song, like two or three songs.
Right.
And, you know, there's very few moments in there when they slow down for a second and there's kind of a groove going. But then the singing style, and then it speeds back up. And I mean, the drums are, I mean, I'm serious. They are going like a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's like they're seeing how fast they can go. There's no musical quality to it.
There's not. There's no melody.
It's just, and then the singing over the top of it, it's not singing. It's growling screaming. And it's
yeah.
like, it just sounds like it'll go through this groove part where you're like, okay, that kind of sounds like music.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll just break into this like screaming. It just sounds like fucking noise.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how people, but there are people that like it because there are people that create it and there are people that listen to it. And I'm just like, how would I throw on headphones and listen to that and be like, I just don't get it. I mean, it's even worse than, you know, like some of the cheesiest, sappiest R&B today or something, you know, that I could, you know, it's worse. It's like noise. I don't get
yeah,
how
I
people
can't do that.
I mean, and that's it, putting it mildly. It's yeah. just like, oh my God, it's crazy.
You know me, I like heavy. Like, I love heavy, but I like, my heavy's gotta have, it can have some screaming and some really fast, but it's gotta slow down at times and have some melodies rhythms to it.
This isn't musical. It's just, parts of it is just literally making noise and going fast and screaming.
I don't get it either. I'm with you.
It's to me, death metal is like the black licorice of
I like that analogy.
Music. I don't get how people like it. Just don't get it.
Yeah.
wouldn't that be funny if there's somebody out there listening that loves black licorice and loves death metal too?
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah. And if you are out there, I apologize, but I don't get you. I don't understand you, but that's okay. We don't have to understand each other.
To each
their own. I'm just saying, for me, I listen to that. I see almost zero musical value. Like I said, there were moments when I'm like, now if they only kept that up, but whatever. Okay. That was just my little thing. I came across that the other day. I thought it was funny.
Okay.
Cattle Decapitation.
Yeah.
So the list of Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees came out.
I knew that's what you're going to say when it was a Piss Chris and Joff list.
Yep. Yep.
I saw that the other day too. And
yep,
there's literally no rockers on there.
It's there is.
But isn't it mostly like the Tribe Called Quest and this?
Tribe Called Quest is on there. Here's the list of nominees. Not all of them get in. Mary J. Blige.
Crap.
Mariah Carey.
Crap.
Cher.
Crap.
Dave Matthews Band.
Crap.
Eric B. and Rakim.
Good.
Foreigner.
Not rock and roll, though.
Not rock and roll. Foreigner.
Decent.
Yeah. Peter Frampton.
Decent.
Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, decent.
Cool in the Gang.
Decent.
Lenny Kravitz.
Good.
Oasis.
Decent.
See, I don't know anything about Oasis except that one song they did.
Yeah.
I know nothing. Wonderwall.
Yeah.
I've never heard it. I'll tell you another thing Oasis did, but yet they're supposed to be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Sinead O'Connor. That's probably a nod to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Posthumously, because she died. Sade.
I mean, good, but she had a great voice and it was soulful, but doesn't deserve to be in the rock and roll.
Tribe Called Quest.
Crap.
Now, there's one more nominee I haven't mentioned yet.
Okay.
And I was surprised, to be honest with you, that this nominee, he's he's in, but I'm surprised that he's not in as a solo artist. And it's funny because I made note of some of the people that are in besides him.
Okay.
Right? So
okay.
Green Day is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Green Day is already in the Rock
already
and Roll Hall
in.
Of Fame.
Already in.
How the hell is that possible? Judas Priest wasn't in, but Green Day.
Green Day is the worst, the most terrible band of all time, and they're in. Blondie is in, which, I mean, she was iconic for a while, but what? Call Me and, you know.
Two hit songs.
Heart of Glass, and that's it, basically, right?
Two hit songs over maybe a 4 or 5 year
stretch.
The
Go-Go's are in, and I mean, there was a time when the Go-Go's were, but that was like a, it was like a very
still
short,
don't deserve it.
Tiny piece of history with like three or four hits.
It's not Hall of Fame worthy.
Hall of Fame, no. I mean, maybe Belinda Carlisle, possibly as a solo artist.
Yeah, because
over
she did
the Go-Go's
then that. I can see that.
Yeah, LL Cool J is in there, which, okay, say what you will. I
more,
mean, we know now.
Of an actor now.
Yeah, we know now that it's called the Rock and Roll, but it should be called the Music Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
Okay, so Rock and Roll really is just a...
Shouldn't even call it that.
Just a
which I don't get because there is...
for music.
There is an R&B Hall of Fame. There is a Country Hall of Fame. So I don't get why they can't just stick to rock and roll.
I don't know. Metal Hall of Fame. I think there is a Metal Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Missy Elliott is in as of last year,
crap.
I think, remember. NWA is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Weird.
They had
why?
One album.
Why are they in
one your... album. That's all. Speaking of one album, Sex Pistols are in there.
Jesus.
They had one album.
Yeah.
And this person is not, and that's Ozzy Osbourne.
How is that
He's
possible?
He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist.
How is that possible?
But those people I just named off are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Four or five decades?
He's in right now with Black Sabbath, but he's not in as a solo artist, which I think is, I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
And
wow.
All those people are in, except him. You know,
and how is Oasis, dude? They had Wonderwall and they had two hits off one record that I couldn't even tell you. How are they even up?
I don't know.
It's because it's that uppity Rolling Stone crap indie rock sound. You know, you're supposed to love it shit.
And I know I like Eric B. and Rakim. Like I thought that rap wise, they were kind
of
fun. But I mean, really, how did they? Were they Hall of Fame worthy? And I mean, Cher, she had a long career. I'm actually kind of surprised Cher's not in there. Mariah Carey, you know, it was a time she was big. And again, if you're just calling it Music Hall of Fame, and I don't know much about, I honestly can't speak to Mary J. Blige because that's a little after my time as far as her popularity in the, you know, R&B and hip, or not even hip, what is she more? Is she just R&B kind of?
She's
like
kind of both.
Pop or whatever. Yeah. I can't speak to her much, but, and you know, Foreigner, Dave Matthews Band, as much as I don't like Dave Matthews Band, like the music, they're pretty... You know, they're big.
They're relevant.
They're iconic.
They have a huge
following. Huge following.
I would think a hell of a lot more than the Oasis.
Right. But, and I mean, I like Lenny Kravitz.
Didn't Oasis split up? Didn't the brothers get all pissed at each other?
I read an article. Like,
and they broke up? And
they don't talk to each other. Yeah. Which is kind of funny. Lenny Kravitz, I like Lenny Kravitz, some songs, but I don't know that. Is that a Hall of Fame career?
No.
In music,
I think they're confusing these guys with like their acting careers too, and this and that. Like,
I don't get it.
Cool,
I mean, and Jane's Addiction. I mean, maybe, but I mean, if Jane's Addiction gets in, then why isn't Iron Maiden in? Right?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
If Jane's Addiction gets in, why isn't Alice in Chains in?
Yeah.
If Jane's Addiction gets in, you know, why isn't Soundgarden? Why isn't Motley Crue in?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, Scorpions.
Jane's Addiction certainly didn't sell more albums and more stadiums than Motley Crue.
I mean, Thin Lizzy is not in the Rock and Roll Hall, and you could say they easily influenced way more people that are in the Hall of Fame than Jane's Addiction ever did.
Right.
But yet they're not in, you know?
Yeah.
Foreigner, not in. Who else is not in? I got a little list here, as you can tell. I wasn't just rattling those names off. Rattling those names off the top of my head.
How is Motley Crue, who changed the face of metal?
Sammy Hagar, as a solo artist, is not in. Isn't that crazy?
That's ridiculous, too.
Yeah. I mean, Motley Crue should be in. It's just, you know, they are so reluctant to put in hair metal that it drives you crazy.
It's
pathetic. Def Leppard is in, you know. Van Halen's in. Kiss is in. But when it comes to
that's
any
pretty
of the,
much it for hair metal.
But when it comes to any of the hair metal bands, it's like they there's a stigma. But I mean, if you're putting in, you know, like Missy Elliott and LL Cool J,
yeah.
I mean, come on, you know, Motley Crue. Rat, even for that matter. You can't Poison is huge. Bon Jovi's in. I know that.
You can't tell me to this day that A Tribe Called Quest or Missy Elliott or these people could go out today and sell out state baseball stadiums around the world, 50 to 70,000 fans, and sell out every single one and do a world tour right now, 50 years after they got started. You can't tell me any of those that would do that, like Motley Crue or Iron Maiden or any of those.
No.
Bullshit.
Matter of fact, I don't even think A Tribe Called Quest could they even sell out like a small theater right now.
No, hell no.
I mean, they're just going in as a... because
neither could Eric B. and Rakim. I mean, no. And I liked it back in the day, but
sure.
Those guys couldn't... they couldn't sell out a movie theater right now.
No. Okay. Now we got all that out of our system.
Piss me off, Joe.
We got that all out of our system there.
God.
Flushed it all out. All right. We just gave ourselves a verbal enema.
Okay. Yes.
Got all that out of our system here. Okay, let's start on the episode. What do you think?
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Now, Same name songs.
Shall I list the songs first and then we can sort of go with... yeah, let's do that first.
So we have six of them?
Kind of know what's coming up. It doesn't have to be in this order, but here are the songs. Tell me if I missed one, too, because... if I did, that means I don't have notes on one and I'll have to wing it.
Okay. You have to winger it?
Yeah. So some of these had three pop potentials. And I think on one of them, you wanted to do a three-way battle.
I did.
This first one I'm going to list off could have been a three-way battle.
Okay.
But we just made it a double or two-way battle. The song is called Bed of Roses.
Right.
A name, a name that could, you know, probably, there's probably 12 artists that have Bed of Roses as the name of a
song. I'm glad you left out the band that you did.
I know. Bon Jovi is not on the... you guys are thinking it's got to be Bon Jovi. No, Bon Jovi is not on the list for this song, but Warrant is. They had a song called Bed of Roses from the Cherry Pie album, and then a band called Rockhead, which in a minute here, if we start with that song, I'll explain to people who Rockhead is. But there is a definitive tie to 80s rock and heavy metal with Rockhead, despite the fact that I think that album came out in like 92.
Yeah.
The second song is Standing in the Shadows. Yep. Yes, Dokken does one. That's a fairly decent hit for Dokken. But also Brittany Fox has a Standing in the Shadows, which was on the second Brittany Fox album, which I think is also like early 90s. Then we went to songs called Eat the Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you wanted to add probably the most popular of them, which was the Aerosmith one, which I believe was, what, like 95?
Yeah, 94, 95, something
pretty
like that.
Pretty big hit, actually, at the time. And it's going against Motorhead, Eat the Rich from 87, and Crocus.
Yep.
My Crocus is in the list.
Crocus.
Is in the list with a song called Eat the Rich off the Headhunter album.
Yep.
All right. That's the three-way battle.
Yep.
Another two-way battle is Let's Get Crazy by Quiet Riot. Yes, it was off the Mental Health album. But also White Lion had a Let's Get Crazy off of Big Game.
Right.
Like a side two song. I think they were both side. They might have even been like both number 7 or 8 on the album. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't look too hard on that. Next song is called Outlaw again. Probably a dozen outlaws out there.
Yeah.
This outlaw, though, is between Dangerous Toys Outlaw, which I believe was the first album, Dangerous Toys, right?
Yep.
And then The Scream.
Yep.
Did a song called Outlaw. The Scream, famously John Corabi's first band before joining Motley Crue. And then finally, fitting, Coming Home.
Which could have been a three-way battle.
Could have been a three-way battle as well. Yeah. The Scorpions have Coming Home, which we're going to do. Against Saigon Kick's song, Coming Home, which was off Saigon Kick's first album. And the third one could have been Cinderella.
Yeah.
So that's our battle. Did I miss one or not? No?
No, you put Mama in front of it. You could have had Ozzy in there in that Coming Home, too.
Oh, yeah, Mama, I'm Coming Home. Yeah, that's true.
But then you got them. Those are the ones that you...
We did do an episode that was similar afterwards that was like called songs with like a little different name.
Yeah.
Like it could have been like Coming Home and Mama, I'm Coming Home or whatever. Okay. Let's dive into it. So are you okay if we start with, should we start with Bed of Roses? Is that all right?
Sure. Whichever one you want to start with.
Let's start with Bed of Roses. So shuffling my papers around here. Bed of Roses. So Warrant's Bed of Roses, like I said, was from Cherry Pie, which I believe was 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rockhead, Bed of Roses, which quick once over on Rockhead. I remember I bought this album when it came out. I remember when it came out in 92. I think it's a kind of a one of those 90s unknown gem of an album's. It's like 12, 13 songs or something. I'm not saying the entire album's like stellar, but it's got probably good 6-7 songs that are really good on this album. And again, it's that early 90s. It was Bob Rock who actually started a band. The guy that famously did, you know, Motley Crue's Dr. Feelgood, you know, Metallica's Black album. The producer, Bob Rock, put together a band with a couple guys, Steve Jack on vocals, bassist Jamie Koch, Chris Taylor, drummer. Anyway, so they put together, they had this one album, I think it's just entitled Rockhead, mm-hmm. and they put it out. They toured with, there are some guest appearances on the album, some members of Bon Jovi, The Cult, Little Caesar guested on the album. Did they go on tour? I thought I read somewhere that they went on tour, I think, like open for Bon Jovi for a few dates or something like that. But anyway, so it was, I don't know. It's like I said, it's kind of one of those rare early 90s albums that's out there.
It is rare. I had to find it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's not on like Spotify or anything. You had to go listen to it. I have this CD, but you have to go grab it on like a YouTube or something. Okay, so that Bed of Roses versus Warrant's Bed of Roses.
Yeah.
Which Bed of Roses would you rather sleep on?
Well, Warrant, I after listening to it, I wrote my little notes here and I put song is meh.
Meh.
Meh. Hmm. Chorus is catchy, and mm-hmm. there's a good breakdown with a nice Janie Lane scream that goes into the solo,
yeah.
and that's the best part of the song, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. After that, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Rockhead, on the other hand, I loved the beginning, and then I heard piano.
Oh, piano.
Ugh.
Piano.
To me, okay, I'm going to say this, and this is going to piss some people off, and there's going to be some people that agree, piano does not belong in my hair metal unless it's in a ballad. Okay, that's a bold statement. I hate piano. Put in the ballads, fine. It belongs in a ballad.
Wait. What about Don't Stop Believing, the intro? Is that okay?
That's okay.
You can keep
Journey's
that. Okay.
Different.
All right.
But keep the piano out of my damn rock and roll songs. Keep it for the ballads, okay? Now, otherwise, I love his voice. You know, the song would have won. This song would have won for me if you just take out that piano. So but I can't do that.
That little piano in the background.
I can't do that like I'm walking into an old Western bar. That ding, 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 ding. I cannot do that in the background. Drives me crazy.
So are you telling me that piano lost it for Rockhead?
It lost it, yeah, for it. So yeah. Warrant wins by no piano default.
Nope.
Yeah.
By way of no piano.
By way of no piano.
Warrant winner. Warrant's Bed of Roses. ironically... I said about the Rockhead Bed of Roses, literally my first sentence is, I dig the song. My second sentence is, doesn't mean piano though.
Yep.
Third sentence, I like the singer's voice.
That's what I said too, dude. Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's got a lot of good guitar fills throughout it because Bob Rock is, I think he's the lead guitarist. So, you know, it's a good, solid, bluesy rock song. And I thought the piano didn't need to be there. Thankfully, it wasn't. When I heard it, it didn't bother me as much. You know, I heard it and I was like, don't need it. But then it didn't really end up bothering me that much enough to where I could just
really?
Listen to it and just be like, eh, it's there. I get it. Doesn't need to be. Don't need it because it kind of bluesies out too much. But I like the song. I think it's a solid song. I like a lot of things about it. And then Warrant's Wet of Roses, like you, I thought kind of the same thing. It's kind of a filler song on a Cherry Pie album that's filled with lots of good stuff. It's not bad, and I did. It's kind of weird because it starts out, you think it's gonna be like a cheesy heaven type song,
right?
Slow guitar, and then all of a sudden, it just bam, kicks in. And I did say the same thing. I like that breakdown
mm-hmm.
going into the solo. I said too that literally the chorus is catchy.
Yeah,
you know, it's got a catchy little.
And
chorus.
After that breakdown, it's got that wow. Oh, that yeah. like famous Janie Lane scream is great.
And then the end of the song, the way it ends, I thought is unique, kind of cool, kind of puts a little spin on the song. I like the guitar in this song. I kind of dig it. And, you know, I think the piano didn't bother me in Rockhead, but I think I might have leaned a little Warrant well on this one, too.
Okay.
As much as I like that Rockhead song, this wasn't a big win, but I think it was enough of a win, too, because of the chorus in Warrant's version. And just kind of it's got a good riff that
yeah,
starts
just a
going,
little more catchy.
You know? Yeah. So I gave Warrant's
so
the win too.
We both picked the same song.
Now that's
this hasn't happened in months.
No, matter of fact, I would not have been surprised if we went through this whole thing and didn't agree on a single one. But yeah, we both agree Warrant's Bed of Roses is the winner. So now let's take a minute here and we'll listen to the little bit of the songs. People that are unfamiliar with Rockhead's Bed of Roses can get a little glimpse into it and hear it. And we'll be back with the second song after that. Coming back after battle number one to battle number two, Headbangers Rock Show, same name songs.
Same name songs.
What a name. For the, I mean, that's brilliant. I can't believe we came up with that. I mean, it popped into our heads.
It's just brilliant.
Just poof, there it was. Same name songs. Why? Because they have the same name.
It's genius.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Same name songs. We did the first one. Now we're doing the second one. This song is called Standing in the Shadows by Dokken and Standing in the Shadows by Brittany Fox. Which shadow did you like to stand in?
Well, but for Dokken is kind of boring, which most Dokken is to me. The pre-chorus, just to me, it doesn't flow. Like, it's almost out of tune. I don't know if you kind of got that, but it just doesn't work for me. And it's the whole song is kind of choppy, and the tempo changes are kind of rough. It's just not a smooth song. And I kind of wonder why, how it became such a hit, because when you really break it down, I kind of notice all those flaws in it. Brittany Fox, on the other hand, I love the chorus, and God, his vocals to me are just like 80s rock and roll. I just love the vocals in that song. Great solo. Brittany Fox, this is my favorite style of 80s hair metal song. Just up tempo. It's got the screams, the solos, the breakdown. I love it. And I love Brittany Fox. I always have. So Brittany Fox wins this one easily for me.
Really?
Like,
easy.
1,000 times better. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess, you know, I'm not surprised by your sort of, you know, with Dokken, you know, yeah, Dokken to me, like we've talked about this before, I never used to give it the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
Since we've been doing our show over the last couple of years, I've listened to more Dokken. I had started to get kind of turned on to them a little bit years ago, but they were always one of the bands that I didn't really listen to a bunch. Anyways, Don's voice, like we said before, kind of an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't really have that standard 80s rock voice. And almost, we've said it before jokingly, it sounds like, you know, they just, they grabbed like their math teacher and said, hey, could you come sing for us? You know, just, yeah. it's an okay voice. Not sure it always fits rock and roll.
Yeah.
But this song has always been kind of one of my favorites. I like the guitar intro and how that guitar intro kind of comes back in the song all throughout the song. You hear it, you know, so it kind of gives you that, you know, that little, what do they call it? Like in your earworm or whatever, you know, it just kind of keeps coming back to that. And you kind of catch that every once in a while. You're like, oh, there's that part again. There's that part again. I do like the end of the song where Don kind of gets into some screams and the guitar going together with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Britney Fox song is weird. I got to be honest. I don't know if I ever heard this song before.
Oh, really?
I really don't think so. Yeah.
Well, see, this is one of those albums that I love.
I couldn't tell you if I've really heard much of the second Britney Fox album.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I haven't heard much of the first Britney Fox album. Some of it.
You should.
But,
it's good.
Some of it for sure. But I thought, so what was interesting when I first heard this song, it's kind of got that galloping guitar to it a little bit. And it actually, if you really think about it, it reminds you of that song Long Way to Love off their first album.
It does.
It's got that same kind of galloping guitar feel to it in the first part. At first, I got to admit, I was a little underwhelmed by the song. But then the more I heard it, I was like, oh, this is, you know, it kind of grew on me 3-4 times after hearing it, kind of going back and forth a little bit. I was like, you know, it's not actually bad. And his voice, he's like Tom Kiefer, but like, you know, Tom Kiefer, like with an extra sheet of sandpaper in his throat.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He is.
So he's like, a little rougher even than Tom Kiefer's voice. So it sometimes sounds a little strained to me. And his name is like Dizzy Dean or was what he went by back then. He actually can sing regular too, really well. He just did this for this band. I really actually ended up liking Standing in the Shadows by Britney Fox. But I had to go with the Dokken song.
Of course you did.
Yep.
Of course you did.
I like Standing in the Shadows by Dokken a little bit better. A little bit better than the Britney Fox one. So let's see.
You need to listen to more Britney Fox. Because to me, Britney Fox is one of those bands that obviously they were part Cinderella and they had ties to the whole thing. Britney Fox went in a direction that I wish Cinderella would have kept going in.
Oh, a little harder.
You know, Cinderella went to that like bluesy southern, you know, that bluesy rock.
Gypsy rock.
They went to the gypsy rock, and then Britney Fox kind of took over where Cinderella left off, and I wish Cinderella would have kept going that direction. Yeah. So to me, they were like the secondary Cinderella.
There is every now and again when we had a Britney Fox song, I think not on the same name ones, but I think on the different name ones.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like if I start hearing some Britney Fox more, I'm like, I actually do dig it. You know, I like a lot of their stuff. I just haven't heard them. Those are two albums I never really got.
Dizzy Dean's voice alone over Don Dokken's, like,
acquired taste. I tell you, you got to get it Don Dokken is like, you know, really deep, rich black coffee. You just got to acquire that taste to it. You know, it's like black licorice. You got to acquire the taste to it. All right, so or death metal.
Yeah,
cattle Dokken decapitation. All right, so Standing in the Shadows will refresh everybody's memory on how these two songs go. You can pick for yourself. And we'll come back and we'll eat the rich.
Yeah!
All right, that was Standing in the Shadows, both of them. You knew I was going to pick Dawkins, didn't you?
I knew it, dude.
Yeah, you knew it. I knew it. Dawkins. When you first thing when you saw that list, you see, all right, he's picking Dawkins. Yeah,
you probably knew I was picking Brittany Fox, too.
Well, I thought it'd be close, and but it wasn't close for you.
No, it wasn't.
I thought you had more appreciation for Dawkins.
There's some songs I like, but yeah. It's not going to be Brittany Fox any day.
Okay, all right, so noted. Okay, Eat the Rich. Now, this is our three-way battle.
Yeah.
So Eat the Rich is a song by... I guess if you went chronologically, well, there could be other ones, but in this battle, Crocus was the first one with the Headhunter album, like 83, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Motorhead, I think that album was on was 87. They had Eat the Rich. And Aerosmith had it in 95.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, ironically enough, Motorhead's Eat the Rich was a single. So it was Aerosmith. I don't know about Crocus if that was actually a single that they released off the album, but nonetheless... three Eat the Riches.
Yeah.
Which rich did you eat?
Crocus. I felt they were like rhyming just to rhyme. It was like rich, bitch, ditch. They actually said ditch after that. I couldn't take it.
Rhyming just to rhyme?
They were rhyming just to rhyme. I couldn't take so the lyrics.
They weren't trying to be like clever or anything like that. They're just picking words that
rhyme.
What
rhymes with rich? Bitch. What rhymes with bitch? Ditch. What rhymes
like,
with ditch?
Like rocks
Witch.
And socks yeah. and blocks.
Oh,
and-
God, dude. I couldn't take it. It was kind of, it's a generic song. I'm like, I said the solo breakdown is awful and it's sloppy. I just.
Awful and sloppy?
Awful and sloppy solo breakdown. I couldn't take it. Then let's go to Motorhead, and I'm going to get hate for this. But I've never been much of a Motorhead fan.
I've wondered that going into this.
We've tried.
We put Motorhead on the list just because, you know, they kind of fall into the 80s hard rock and heavy metal category, but they're like a, like you could listen to them and Motley Crue and Rat and, you know, Megadeth all together, but Motorhead does have kind of a different, you know, feel to them. I
so
mean,
many people like them, and I've just never got into them.
Here's what I like. Here's when I like Motorhead is when I hear one or two songs in a playlist. I'm definitely can't be like a full album Motorhead guy. Just because Lemmy's voice. I mean, it's mostly their music is kind of similar. All the songs. And
it is very similar.
But anyways,
Lemmy's voice sounds like he needs a damn throat lozenge.
Well,
like he does.
Yeah.
Like it's bad.
I think he became the singer by default, and they just said, "Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah. It's unique." But
I put boring song, boring solo, boring drums.
So I'm gonna guess Aerosmith wins.
Sadly, I used to hate this song. Okay, when this song came out, hated it. All right, so I went back, and that's why I asked you to add it because I knew I kept listening to these two songs, and I was like, I don't like either of these songs. I don't want another tie.
Okay,
so I was like, well, add Aerosmith, and that I'll have to pick. So I used to hate it, but you know what? Up against these, it's by far the most catchy of the three.
Mm-hmm.
It's sing-alongable. It's got a chorus you understand, and it's actually got kind of clever lyrics. Compared to the other two songs, you listen to the lyrics. Oh God, Aerosmith's lyrics are kind of clever. Like the way I like how Steven Tyler wrote it, and so Aerosmith wins it for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So lyrics are clever in a like a love in an elevator kind of way. Almost. Yeah,
they're clever, just the way you spit out the rest, and eat the ridge. Like it's clever and it's catchy. So the catchiness on this song, it's a song that like I can hear it again and again. But these other songs, like
So let's start with, so you pick Aerosmith.
I pick Aerosmith. Okay.
So I'll start with Motorhead. And funny to say that you said Crocus was rhyming just to rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
How about this lyric in the Motorhead, Eat the Rich?
Yeah, they did it too.
Hash browns and bacon strips. I like the way you lick your lips. I like that lyric. I think that's cool. I thought that was funny. You know, it seemed like a Lemmy thing, you know, because Lemmy is like the most unassuming rock star there was out there. You know, he just was, you know, I don't really give two shits. I'm going up there. I'm going to sing some songs, write some lyrics about bacon and bacon strips and licking your lips. You know, he didn't give two shits. So I thought it was funny. But again, and if this song were it's actually a good Motorhead song. And I like Motorhead. Again, it just has to be intermixed with stuff.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to throw on.
I respect them. But,
sure. Yeah. But, and I like them. I actually do like them. There's that. Not the Ace of Spades album, but the other, like Overkill or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Got some great songs that I love on there. His voice was similar to like a Brian Johnson's in that the later he got, the worse it got. You know, like it just because of that way he sings, it got kind of rougher and rougher as they went on. Some of the early stuff I think is a lot better. But so I like that song. You wanted the Aerosmith song in there, and I do think it's catchy. I was never a big fan of this era of Aerosmith, though. Crazy, yeah. and yeah, this album.
Yeah, me neither. You know, absolutely. Yeah.
Milk Teats on it. So I just Aerosmith, to me, give me Aerosmith 70s all the way up to Done With Mirrors. Some of the stuff off of the Pump, and you know, and then I've Aerosmith became much more of especially this era, pop band.
They did.
Is the song catchy? Yeah.
It's catchy. Became like Def Leppard. They both became poppy.
It's catchy. It's definitely, there's no doubt it's a catchy song. Crocus. I like the way his voice goes.
Beloved Crocus.
My newfound love for Crocus since we've been doing this, kind of like Dokken.
Yeah.
I like the way his voice goes through different stages in this song. He has a couple different registers and styles he sings in. He does a couple different ones in this. He sings low and then he gets to a scream. I think it's got a really good driving riff. And I thought listening to this album or this song, I was like, why didn't I listen to more Crocus growing up?
Really?
I'm picking Crocus, and it wasn't even close.
Oh, my God.
Crocus Eat the Rich for me. Easy peasy. Japanesey.
This is how I assume this episode would go for us.
Yeah, Crocus. Give me Crocus all day long. I mean,
so we have one together
great
and
song.
Two totally different ones,
are you kidding me? Hash browns and bacon strips. I mean,
it was a three-way, and we didn't even have our second place the same.
Like. No, probably not. No, because Crocus was your last, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, I think we probably both had our second place the same. Was Motorhead your second place?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we did. So my first was your last and vice versa. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we got there's through Eat the Rich. Be a little bit more of a extended break this time for music, since we got to give you a little piece of three songs here, and then we'll come back and get crazy. Good boy would get a sweet thing on the side, home cooking on the side. Side order could be a daughter, and you're looking good. Come on, baby, eat the rich. Put the fire on the side. Yeah! When I woke up this morning on the wrong side of the bed, and how I got to thinking about all those things you said about ordinary people and how they make you sick. And if calling names kicks back on you, then I hope this does the trick. Cause I'm sick of y'all complaining about how many bills, and I'm sick of all your bitching about your pools and your pills, and I just can't be no humor. Said you best go on a diet, yeah, I hope you have some fun. And I don't go burst the bubble on the rich folks who get rude, cause you won't get in no trouble when you eat that kind of food. And now they're smoking up their junk bombs, and then they go get stiff, and they're dancing in the yacht club with muffin on the season, lady. Yeah. All right. Time to get crazy. Headbangers Rock Show doing same name songs.
Brilliant
and
title.
If this episode were about different name songs, we'd call it different name songs.
Yeah, we're smart like that.
So let's get crazy and talk about two songs called Let's Get Crazy. First one, Quiet Riot, probably the more known of the two, maybe a little bit because that album's a little bit bigger than the White Lion album, but Quiet Riot, Let's Get Crazy. Which one got you more crazy?
Well, Quiet Riot is classic song. I always loved it, you know. But after listening to it more, it's very simple, very simplistic. It's kind of cheesy, but it has attitude. You know, does that make sense? That song's got attitude. White Lion, the intro blows. Why they do this 40 seconds of the muffled, crappy sounding guitar.
I think you're going, it's like kind of in mono. Like it's really sounds like an old record player.
It's horrible. Yeah. Because when that stops, it kicks ass.
Right.
Like when it breaks in and they finish that crap, it actually is awesome. Like, so I don't know. Here's how I put this song. This one was hard for me, actually. Mm-hmm. This was a tough one. I didn't think it would be. I was like, oh, Quiet Riot all day.
Sure.
But this song, the White Lion song, is definitely musically way more talented.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Musicianship, amazing. Guitars, incredible on this song.
Yeah.
The drums is a little too much of the rat-a-tata, rat-a-tata, rat-a-tata. Not a lot of changes on the drums, which kind of annoyed me. The chorus I thought sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's the difference to me, Mike Tramp doesn't use his voice to its potential in this song. He's kind of like toned it down. Like he doesn't really do anything with his voice, and the chorus is short and kind of just, it's not sing-alongable. You know, I like the sing-alongable choruses. So Quiet Riot, to me, even though it's not as good as a song musically, It just has more attitude, and it's just more, you just want to sing with it. Whereas that's harder to do with White Lion. So Quiet Riot nudges it out for this one for the win.
Okay, nudges it out. Yeah, the one thing about the White Lion song, which is interesting, I put that intro, if it was shorter, that you can get away with it. It is a little long.
Yeah.
And then boom, it sounds, you know what's funny is that musically it sounds to me like a 1984 era Van Halen song.
Yeah.
The way Vito's kind of going all over the place, and he's not really playing a riff. He's just sort of soloing, and then the drums and the bass are sort of carrying the...
It's different. It's really different for the time.
Vito's got so many, like, he just puts in these little solo fills all the way through the song. It's a fast... I think one of the reasons why you're saying with Mike Tramp and how his potential on this is because I don't think Mike Tramp is meant to sing, like, faster-paced songs.
Okay,
it doesn't. You know what I mean? He's better in the groove of like Hungry and Wait and stuff like that. And you know, even if it's heavy, it could be heavier, but the tempo, I don't think this is too fast of a song for Mike Tramp to really sound good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he doesn't have that. He doesn't have like a kind of like any kind of scream ability to sort of really to his voice. And then the Quiet Riot song, I always thought it was kind of a funny tongue-in-cheek song with a lot of attitude, like you said, and especially the line where it says, you want to kiss the lips, not the ones on your face.
I came in singing that today in the studio.
So it is funny, and I think ultimately I would pick that too, even though I'm a big White Lion honk, as you know.
You are.
So I would pick Quiet Riot too, because I think it's just got, like, I think it's enough. Yeah, over
there. You're not picking your beloved White Lion?
I'm not.
And we're agreeing on the same song?
I know, isn't that crazy?
Holy crap.
It's never been one of my favorite White Lion songs. It's not bad. I think there's some goodness to it. The music is really good to it. But I think you're right. I think Tramp, you know, this was not his specialty, you know, so to speak. The fast songs. So, yeah, I think Quiet Riot's Let's Get Crazy is a little bit better. They're separated by a few years. You know, I think Quiet Riot was 83. The other one was 87 maybe. So, yeah, I think I'm going to pick Quiet Riot too, ultimately. So, there you go.
Okay.
We both have a Get Crazy as the same. So
it's two out of four. We've picked
two
the
out
same
of four
songs.
The same. We got two more songs. And we're back after we hear a little craziness after that. I think it's Okay, two songs to go. First one, we'll start with is Outlaw.
Yeah.
Outlaw by The Scream and Outlaw by Dangerous Toys. No Outlaw by The Cult. That could have been a three-way we talked about.
God, that would have been made it much tougher.
Well, that would have made it much tougher. I think that probably would have... Well, that would have been tough. I don't know. There's one of these two Outlaws that I think is really good, so it would have been a close match there. Okay.
I know exactly
which
what
Outlaw
you're
are you riding with here.
You probably know what I'm picking. I'm going to know what you're going to pick on this one.
Okay, yep.
So... Coincidentally, this is one of my all-time favorite Dangerous Toys songs. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that.
I love this song. It rocks so hard, dude. Jason's voice is at its best in this song. I just love it. Mm. I love the background guitar noodling, you know, the perfect solo. I love this damn song.
Do you really?
Yes. Can you tell?
Wow. Yeah, I can. Yeah.
The scream, very repetitive to me. Just very repetitive, very lame solo in this song. It's kind of generic. And I know you love your scream, but I don't think this is that great of a song. Dangerous Toy, easy win for me. Now, if you would have thrown in The Cult, that would have been a battle for me. That would have been tough. But Dangerous Toys wins this hands down.
Hands down, huh? That's interesting because I have for Dangerous Toys that it's pretty much a filler song.
Really? I love this song.
I said there are some cool parts to it. I said his voice in through the verses gets to be too much. It's almost like there's too many lyrics. And they needed to pull out some of the lyrics and let him sing less because he's going like... Blah, 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 blah. I said, after the verses, I think the song gets better from the solo to the end.
Mm.
Definitely not one of my favorite Dangerous Toys songs, that's for sure. However, with The Scream.
God.
The Scream's album, Let It Scream, is one of the best albums of all time. Got some of the most... some of my favorite songs of all time are on this album. Coincidentally, Outlaw is probably not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite songs on the album. I mean, it's okay.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it's
to
okay.
To me, it's a filler song.
It's the opening song, ironically.
It is?
Yeah.
Not a good song for an opening song.
I think the Scream album in general has a perfect mix of some 80s feel, you know, a little bit some 90s feel. And I actually put on here, kind of the whole album, it kind of has a bit of a Cult electric feel to it, a tiny bit to me.
I said,
not the best song on the album, but I like it. Who doesn't like a cowboy song, right? Mm. So for me, not my favorite Scream song, but the Scream wins for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%. So there you go. Now we disagree again on that one.
Disagree, and we're back to the old ways.
Back to the old ways. So we disagree. You're getting two out of three. Two out of five, right?
We've agreed two out of five. Yeah.
Two out of five.
So when we come back from the break,
sixth song, yes.
We could go 50-50 on agreeing or just... Not at all.
Or we could keep the status quo and just go disagreeing. Okay, so we'll be back. We'll be bringing it home with Coming Homes after that. After this.
Tired and a cat that's at my back again.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys, and you're listening to myself and Chris 51 and Joe on the Headbangers Rock Show.
Last song, same name battle, same name songs battle, Headbangers Rock Show. This is it, home stretch, and how fitting that the songs that we are doing are called Coming Home.
So you're bringing it home on the home stretch with Coming Home.
This could have been a three-way battle. Like we said, Cinderella has a great song called Coming Home, yeah. One of my favorites. But we didn't put that one in there. Maybe we thought we'd have a little bit of a bigger fight without that one in there. So we got Scorpions coming home off of Love at First Sting, right?
Yeah, Love at First Sting. With the side boob.
Yep. Yeah. And then Saigon Kick. Off of their first album, not The Lizard, but their first album. It's interesting. I don't know if you've been following this a little bit. There's been there were some waves being made because Saigon Kick was going to go out and do like a 30th anniversary of and celebrate, play live shows for the album that came after The Lizard, Water, or something like that. Big fight between, I guess, the original lead singer who was on the first two albums and the guitarist who became the lead singer after the singer left for that Water album. And big fight because, like, I guess when they, it's funny because this is what they're talking 30 years ago, and these guys are still acting like they're like kids. I've saw some of the back and forth on like Twitter and stuff between these guys or Facebook or whatever. It's hilarious. Like the singer accuses the guitarist of stealing his vocal style for you know, he's like yeah, he even stole my vocal style. And if you listen to Water, I would never have known that they switched singers. It does sound very similar.
Yeah, it does.
But anyways. So Saigon Kick's an interesting band, I think, because they get lumped in a little bit with, I mean, actually quite a bit with the hair metal scene. Mm-hmm. You listen to their stuff. I mean, outside of Love Is On The Way, which I think is what got them into the hair metal scene, like associated with the hair metal, their songs are really not at all formulaically like hair metal at all, really.
No.
Matter of fact, I heard this song, and I don't know, I'll let you, what you like better, but I felt like this song is more reminiscent of like a alternative or like a Jane's Addiction type, something like that, more so than hair rock.
It is. It, Saigon Kick's one of those weird bands that kind of bridges the gap, and I think they do it really well.
Yeah.
I think 80s guys can like it, and a little more alternative guys can like it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking like, you know, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana alternative. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe more like the other guys, that like the Toadies and, you know, these other kind of bands that were out there that weren't so grungy. Right. You know, so I think they're such a unique band, and I think they're way ahead of their time, honestly, because of that. You know, yeah. I like Saigon Kick. I always have.
I do. I think The Lizard's a great album. I have to admit, I don't know this first album very much, if at all. I've listened to it over the years, different times, at parts, and it sounds to me it's just Saigon Kick. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's nearly as good, personally, as The Lizard. But anyways, which song brought it home for you?
Well, Scorpions starts out boring as shit. It takes a minute and 47 for any drums or anything to kick in. So it's almost like two songs put together. Yeah.
My favorite part, I got to stop you there. My favorite part, though, at the beginning of the, you can totally see Klaus Main, you know, when he's singing it and they're trying to, you know, come up with the song. And because the first, it's about basically the song is like, hold on, I'm trying to look for it here. The song is about like being on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and like we're coming home. It's like playing all these places. But the funniest part is, I thought I brought it up. Hold on a second. That's not it. Anyways, it's like Klaus Main's in the beginning. He's like, when you wake up in the morning and you are yawning.
Yeah.
I just cried when I first was listening to it on this. I was like out walking the dog or something. He's like, when you wake up in the morning,
you're yawning.
Oh god. Anyways, okay, go ahead.
No, but you know what I mean, like it takes forever.
It does. Like half the song is this like slow guitar and then all of a sudden
but then like when it kicks in, it rocks, dude. I love it. And you know, I normally don't like when a guitar is like completely in sync with vocals. Like they're at the same time.
Yeah.
But they hit such this unique note where they sound exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I really love how the guitar and the vocals sync up on the pre-choruses of this song. Actually, it's done really well. Mm-hmm. It's an awesome long solo. You take out that first minute 47, this is a kick-ass song. I love this song.
Yeah.
Saigon Kick. Also, this song rocks. I loved this song. I think it has great riffs.
And like I said, I think they're ahead of their time. I think it does. It's kind of like hair metal meets grunge, kind of like. Mm-hmm. And I just thought in the end that Scorpion's intro is just too damn long and boring. So Saigon Kick wins it for me because it just rocks more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I agree with you. The same thing with the Scorpions thing. I mean, you know, I had to listen to it and kind of put it all sort of into one big package with the song coming with the Scorpions one. You know, yeah, that first part is like, you know, interesting. It's slow. It's just him and guitars. And then it kicks in. So I'm trying to kind of bundle it all together, like as a whole. Am I okay with that transition? Like kind of two songs in one. And yeah, I can't remember which song this went against when we did against Judas Priest, but I remember hearing this, like, probably hadn't heard the song since 1983 or 4 when it first came out, this album, but listening to it again, I was like, you know, I don't mind this song. You know, what, like you said, once it kicks in, it is badass.
It is badass.
Oh, man, it's just rocking.
Yeah.
And I think the Saigon Kick song, I was listening to it, I was going, okay, you know, it's good. I like it. Like, I could put this on and, you know, it would be good music to just, you know, sort of listen to and stuff. But this particular song there isn't a lot to it. You know, it's a good song.
It's a straightforward, heavy song.
It's got the standard, you know, signature characteristic harmonies of Saigon Kick, you know, unmistakable, you know, when you hear some of the harmonies that they do in this. So it sounds like a Saigon Kick song, but it sounds to me like a Saigon Kick song that is kind of like just a Saigon Kick song, you know, not great, not awesome, not terrible, just a
good
song.
I hear it off an album that I'm not as familiar with as a Lizard, and I hear this song, and to me, what wins it is it makes me want to listen to more. I'm like, okay,
I
wonder if it gets even better than this.
Sure,
you know,
yeah, and I like the groove to the song. It's got a cool groove to it, and I like when it breaks down. He's kind of saying that, you know, he's kind of got a spoken word part a little bit.
Yeah.
I like the singing style of Saigon Kick. I think it's unique. I think it's cool. This song just, I mean, I like it. I just think for me that second half of Coming Home brings it home for me. I agree with the first part being kind of weak and, you know, in the morning and you're yawning, but I love that second part so bad that it kind of flows okay with the, it's kind of like when we were talking about like Rime of the Ancient Mariner the other day, how it's got that weird part, like a minute and a half long where like, could it be shortened? Yeah. Like, could this be shortened at the beginning? Yeah. And have more of that. But as a whole, you know, I'll accept it because, you know, I like that other part so much. So for me, Coming Home wins. So there you go.
There we go. Oh,
I said Coming Home wins. Coming Home Scorpions wins.
So we agreed on 2 out of 6.
2 out of 6 we agreed on. And ironically, one of the two was My White Lion. I went against My White Lion for that. Otherwise, the only one we would have really agreed on was the first one, which was Warren.
Shocked.
Yeah. Okay. So there it is. As usual, we agree to disagree.
That's right.
So we'll end the episode with some Coming Homes, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks again for listening. It's been Headbangers Rock Show. Same name songs, lest you get it mixed up with different name songs. Nope, these are same name songs. So we'll get out of here and be back with our next episode in a couple weeks. And until that point,
stay metal.